and welcome back to another edition of the TV Casualty Podcast. I'm Kat Angus, and I don't know if you guys have met Jeevan Brar. You familiar with this podcast, Jeevan?
No, it's only been like, what, 20 editions?
20-something like that? Yeah, okay, so you kind of know what you're talking about.
Kind of.
So let's get right into it. I assume you can just swim. R.J. Berger, the hard times of R.J. Berger, a new... The hard times of R.J. Berger. Premiered on MuchMusic/MTV last week. I'm not sure I am the target demographic for this show. I think maybe people like you, as in, and by people like you, I mean boys.
Yes.
I think it is more geared towards you. What did you think as a boy?
As a boy, if I was 16 again, I would have loved this show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there aren't many shows that are geared towards guys. Well, scripted programs like this.
Yes. Oh, finally there are shows geared towards men.
Well, you know.
Finally. You've come a long way, baby.
We've come a very long way. You know, guys, especially in high school, we have, you know, leads that are in high school have their own storylines. It's usually, you know, female heroines, which I don't mind watching, like Buffy.
Veronica Mars,
etc. So this is the first time it's the actual guy who's the main character, so mm-hmm. That's interesting. I thought the whole, he's, you know, it's like Hung, but for high school students.
Yes. For those who don't know, The Hard Times of R.J. Berger is about a social outcast in high school who, turns out, is very well endowed.
Yes.
And everyone at school finds out.
Yes.
And, yeah, that's the premise for the entire show.
That was the premise for the first
episode. For the first episode.
Which, they didn't really forget it, but I feel like the high school kid just moved on. I thought that it would, his, you know, member would be a prominent issue for the rest of the show, but it's just, oh, okay.
It didn't make him more popular. If anything, they make fun of him more for it.
Yeah.
Okay, from my point of view, okay, sure, I can understand that he finds this Jenny girl very attractive, very pretty girl.
Yes, she is.
But she's kind of an idiot. Like, in this week's episode, her boyfriend, who is a jerk, and she's willfully ignoring that he's a jerk, is bothering RJ, and she's like, oh, don't worry, I told him not to bother you, which clearly, that's not going to do anything. Really? You like this girl who is so stupid that she actually believes that this jerk-off boyfriend is going to leave you alone?
She's a high school girl. What do you expect
from her? I fully understand that, and I fully realize that in high school, guys aren't really all that interested in that kind of thing. I was not all that interested in necessarily smart boys. I just really wanted them to be cute. So I can't really blame them. It's just hard to root for RJ to get together with a girl when I don't really like her. I just think she's nice to him. She's nice to him. She voted for him in the school election. Very nice. That I liked her a little bit more for that. Showed she had principles. But she's just not, there's not much to her other than that.
I feel like if she didn't vote for her, I would have hated her. But the fact that she did, it kind of, hey, maybe she's going to, you know, wake up and realize that her boyfriend is a jerk, well, even though she should.
I'm sure that's what's going to happen. I just would like to see her have more of a personality than she's nice and pretty.
Yeah.
Like, it would be nice to see her even tell off her boyfriend a little bit or show some kind of spine so that I can root for RJ to get together with this girl. Okay. Not that he has any really better options. His female friend, who is really only there to make the most disgusting comments ever.
Yeah. They're kind of a disgusting version of, you know, in Mean Girls, the two friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of impressive how gross that character gets. I can't remember the character's name. I'm sorry, people. But just watch the show and then get grossed out and you'll know who I'm talking about. Like, did they just have one writer on staff who was in charge of coming up with the most disgusting things to say just for that character? Ah. But yeah, when I saw the pilot, I was wondering, how are they going to make an entire show about this guy having a large penis? But it's really just about being an outcast in high school. And as much as, like, I do enjoy the show, but I have a feeling that if it weren't for all the crass comments, the show would be fairly hard to distinguish from other shows about outcasts.
Right.
Okay, take away the disgusting lines, and it's basically Glee without singing.
It's true.
Yeah. Or any other show about outcasts, save for Freaks and Geeks, which is actually a good show about being an outcast. Like, I think the only thing that R.J. Berger has going for it is this penis thing and how much they can gross out their audience. And they do it well. I'm not going to lie. But I wonder how long they can keep this up. Pun totally intended. I will keep watching for a few more episodes, but crass comedy isn't enough to keep me going. I need more, and if they make Jenny a more interesting, well-rounded character, then I think I may enjoy it more.
Right.
I need a reason to root for these people, and so far I don't really have one.
They're all pretty hateable.
All of them.
Even the parents.
Yeah, especially the parents. There's really no redeeming character on this show. We're supposed to root for RJ, but
he just doesn't really do much.
He doesn't do much. He just kind of reacts, and in this past episode, he was ready to go back on his own principles until he changed his mind because of a girl, which, again, realistic, but doesn't make me root for him.
Right.
They need to work on the scripts a little bit and try to find...
they need to make the characters a little more three-dimensional.
Make the characters more three-dimensional and come up with a more interesting point of view than just grossing us out.
Yes.
So, Jeevan, this week I watched The Bachelorette, and it was the worst episode that I have seen yet. All the guys just wouldn't stop singing, and every time they did, I just couldn't stop cringing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Really?
Really? They all sang.
So much singing this week on The Bachelorette, and it made me so uncomfortable.
They went to New York.
New York, New York. Okay, seriously, we're not going to sing anymore on the podcast. Sorry, guys. Now. But Casey does he not notice social cues that, one, okay, just singing about the date you're already on, that's weird.
Yes.
Two, if the person is clearly not enjoying it, you don't stop, then do it again. And then do it again half an hour later.
But everyone followed suit.
Everybody followed. So then after that, all the guys sang for the Lion King, which they were kind of forced to do, still I had to sit through it. I had to change the channel so many times.
It was that embarrassing.
Okay, I don't know what it is about some guys who think that singing to girls is a romantic thing to do.
It's not.
Well, for me, it makes me really, really uncomfortable. I don't know what to do with myself. I feel like I just kind of want to leave. I wish I could change the channel in real life. I did an informal poll in the DOS offices.
Yes.
0% of women like to be sung to, according to my informal poll of three people. But really, guys, I know you think it's romantic, but odds are the girls will feel very uncomfortable to have to be that kind of center of attention because they cannot really interact with you while the singing is going on. They're just kind of standing there.
Yeah.
And what do you do with yourself? It's like if you don't have pockets, what do you do with your hands? It's that kind of thing, except on an emotional scale.
I think if anyone just started singing right in front of you, it would be a little awkward.
Yeah. And it was especially awkward to watch it on television. I have to say, I love, like, as awkward as Casey is, I love that he's sticking around because he's so crazy.
He got a tattoo.
Well, okay, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
So on this date, he's singing to her. He's talking about how he has chosen her in this moment, and one day she will choose him too, as if they know anything about each other.
That's my biggest issue with it. I don't think I could go on a show and say, yeah, I love her. I've only seen her, but I'm in love with her, and I know that my love for her is going to trump all of your loves for her.
Well, Casey has clearly bought into this, has decided that they are perfect for each other, regardless of all evidence to the contrary. And it annoyed me that, I appreciated that Allie sort of gave him the benefit of the doubt, like, you're nervous, maybe just be a little bit more genuine. But he took this to mean that she thought he was lying about his feelings, when she clearly meant, just act like a normal person for a while.
Yeah.
So Casey went and got a tattoo.
Like all normal people do.
Of a shield protecting a heart, because he said, I will guard and protect your heart like a million times. For the rest of his life, he will be known as the guy who got a bachelorette tattoo on him. Like, really? This is how you're proving to Allie that you're a normal, non-crazy dude? You went and got a tattoo?
Just a little crazy.
Just a little bit. And I wanted Allie to sit him down and, like, say, it feels like you are acting out a script of how you think love goes. and you don't really know anything about me. And when he responded, oh, but I do. I know that we're meant to be together. And I would say, well, no, you don't, because if you did, you would know I hate it when guys sing to me. But the thing is, there's no way he could have known that. Like, it's not his fault that he doesn't know that, because they don't know anything about each other. So all you have to say is, like, this is a thing I don't like. Let's get to know each other. Like, ask real questions. People. Ask questions. Like, don't sing. Yeah. Ask.
Ask.
That's a good rule for dating, everybody. Just don't ask. Sing. Just ask.
You should always ask.
Always ask. It doesn't matter what. Well, maybe it matters what. But it's better to ask questions than to not ask questions. And it's especially better than singing.
Yes.
Now, the weatherman this week, oh, he got kicked off, and I was a little bit sad about that. You were especially sad about it.
He was the only thing that would make me even contemplate tuning in, because he was so ridiculous.
He is a bundle of nerves. I don't know how you can go throughout your daily life questioning every single action you make. Like, everything he said, oh, I'm so stupid, oh, what do I do, oh, we could fall in love, but we're not, oh, stupid, 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 and, like, brushing his face with his hands, and just acting like a crazy person that was great television, but I felt so bad for the guy. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I was really sad for him. I figured, obviously I knew that she wouldn't choose him, because obviously. She's not that crazy,
yeah.
But I figured we'd see him, you know, a little more.
I was really hoping that once Craig M. got kicked off, that Jonathan could finally come out of his shell. But no, it turns out it doesn't matter who's around.
Yeah.
It's just that the weatherman is a big bag of insecurity. Oh, and then he sang too.
Yeah, which was more painful to watch.
I would say equally as painful as Casey. At the cocktail party, he decides to pull out the big guns, bring out his guitar, and sing her a song.
And another guy who can play a guitar in the...
I did appreciate the comment, hey, can more guys bring out their guitars? I don't think we have that. That was actually pretty funny. Frank? I think that was Frank. Yeah. It was a pretty good line. But yeah, but then Weatherman, another guy who can't notice facial cues, because Allie was clearly very uncomfortable during his whole singing thing. And then afterwards, he was like, oh, I'd be very surprised if I went home tonight. Really? Really? You'd be surprised by
famous
that?
Famous last words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye. Like, really? Can the guys on this show just stop being so embarrassing?
They're himbos.
They're always himbos, but these guys are going out of their way to just be awkward on television. They're always kind of DBs on the show, and I've come to accept that, but this is on a whole new level of embarrassment. Like, I cringe so badly when I watch this show now. Who is coaching these guys? Like, obviously this is gold. The producers must love it when these guys start singing, but good lord.
Stop with the singing.
Yeah.
Please.
Stop it. Stop singing. Okay, I broke my promise. I'm done now. No more singing.
No more singing.
Now, the Breaking Bad season finale. Holy balls, Jeevan. Could that not have been better?
No.
Could that have been better? My point is, it was incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah. Fantastic finale. I was on, literally on the edge of my seat, and I'm using literally properly because I actually was on the edge of my seat for the entire time. Oh my goodness.
We didn't know when it would end. Either.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what is your opinion? Do you believe that Gale is dead?
Right after I watched the show, I was confused, but it has been confirmed.
It has been confirmed by Vince Gilligan. I was surprised that people were confused. I can sort of understand.
Because of the sway.
It's because, okay, from what happened is in the last shot, we see Jesse holding a gun up to Gale's head. And then the camera dollies in front of him, and then he shoots the gun. It's a stylistic choice. I really liked it, and I got it. But I can see how, because there wasn't really a point of reference, it sort of looked like Jesse moved away from Gale and shot the gun instead. So I can understand that. But Vince Gilligan has confirmed that no.
Gale is dead.
Gale is an ex-chemist. He's not alive. It's not happening. It's too bad. I really liked Gale. I loved his apartment. I love that he checks the temperature on his boiling water to make tea. He's adorable. I read an interview with the guy who plays Gale. I can't remember his name. He said that the song he was singing along to is about a man who makes an omelet and doesn't share it with his brothers, so his brothers make an omelet and don't share it with him. That's what the entire song is about. That's amazing. That's a pretty interesting character choice.
Was it his choice?
I don't think it was. I think the writers and the set design people and whoever else is in charge of that came up with that.
Well, Gil can have all the omelet he wants now.
In heaven.
Yes.
Now, what do you think of Walt's character arc over the season?
I feel like he's going to stay bad. He had the choice of, you know, like Jesse said, join witness protection, hand people into the government.
But right.
He decided that living on, you know, under witness protection, it's not going to provide for his family.
Right.
So that's what he wants to do.
Well, do you think he actually did have a choice? Because if he went to the police, then that would reveal that Hank had been ignorant of his brother-in-law's crimes all this time. It would ruin Hank's career even more than Hank's injuries already have.
But do you think Walt really cares at this
point? I think he does. Obviously, like, he is still under the delusion that he's doing this all for his family. And he, okay. Obviously, his affinity for this work has grown quite a lot more than he ever expected it to. But to him, he is still doing this to provide for everybody, and he wants to protect them as much as he can.
How much money has he banked now?
I don't know. $3 million? Who knows?
That should be enough, you know, for Walt and for Hank.
If he goes to the police, he doesn't get to keep that money. Exactly. So he needs to keep that money to pay for Hank's rehabilitation. I'm not saying that it was the right decision. Clearly it wasn't, because a man, innocent-ish man, had to die. But from Walt's point of view, he didn't really have a choice.
Of course, Walt didn't pull the trigger.
Of course he didn't. But he pulled the trigger and drove the car last week. He's a murderer. But I really, like, I loved that over the season, it started out with Walt as this kind of emasculated man who just had to sort of accept his circumstances and just kind of deal with it as much as possible. And we saw him acting out, but it was more out of frustration than out of any real taking control. And then finally, the Heisenberg hat came back, and I think we were all excited for Heisenberg to come back, and it wasn't even really the same thing. It was still, he was sort of putting on the costume of Heisenberg rather than being Heisenberg to try to attempt to take control of this massively bad situation with Gus. And
just getting worse.
Just getting worse. But still, as much as he's taking control a little bit, he's still trapped in these horrible situations. I did love right at the end when he gives Gail's address and he just goes, yeah. Like, those are the Walt moments I love the most. When he has the upper hand as briefly as it might happen, those are my favorite moments.
He's got the upper hand now.
Well, until Gus can find another chemist. They've got to be around.
But will Walt be training that chemist?
Probably not.
No.
Yeah. Now, Jesse. Oh, poor Jesse. If you had told me when Breaking Bad started that he would break my heart the most, I wouldn't have believed you, because I wanted to punch him and his stupid outfits all the time.
Exactly.
And that poor boy.
Walt's made his life worse.
Well, obviously. Yeah, but he also, he made a decision in this finale that he was going to be a murderer. And whether he thought that he owed Walt because Walt saved his life last week, or just that he was going to really try to be a bad guy. It's just, he actually gave up a part of his soul to save Walter White.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. And would Walter White have done the same?
Well, I don't know if Walter White has much of a soul left to give up, is the thing. I don't think Walt has much of a problem with giving up parts of him because he doesn't even realize when it's happening. And Jesse is very aware of when it happens. As you can see in that final shot with the tears coming out of his eyes having to shoot Gale. And then look at Walt shooting that guy last week. Nothing. Nothing.
What happens next with Jesse? What do you think?
Nothing good. He is going to go into it. Well, he has to be on the run now. Like, definitely on the run, not just hanging out in Laser Quest.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure where they can take this. Like, Vince Gilligan says he doesn't even know, and Vince Gilligan knows way more than I do. So Honestly, I'm just going to stay out of the predictions for now.
Okay.
I'm glad Hank didn't die this season.
It was such a really... It was very painful to watch.
Oh.
That episode.
Yeah.
Where he was attacked.
One of the best episodes of television I've ever seen, but incredibly hard to watch. And I'm surprised nothing happened to Skylar in this last episode.
It was quiet on the Skylar-Hank front.
Yeah. A little bit quiet.
I think that's the best part of Breaking Bad. You know who the central focus is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a good way job.
Yeah. Well, Breaking Bad was just picked up for a fourth season.
Same
night that the finale was airing. Not really a surprise. No. It was picked up again.
I think incredibly successful show. Was there any doubt?
Yeah. I thought it had already been picked up. I saw that news and I'm like, But yeah, incredible season. If this show does not win the Best Drama Emmy, I am going to set things on fire.
Uh-oh.
And by that, I mean I will complain and grumble for a few days. It's...
Okay, good.
It's a saying. People say that.
But well, when I say I'm going to set something on fire, I do it. On fire.
He means it, folks. Yeah. He means it. So that does it for this week's edition of the TV Casualty Podcast. Check out my blog at dose.ca/TV Casualty and check out Jeevan's blog at dose.ca/watercooler. See you next week.